once I get us the... Okay, we're ready.
I'm ready now.
Okay, this Shabbos we're going to lay in the Parshas Vayeshev, which this year is the first Shabbos Chanukah. I'm going to talk about the Parshas of Shavua. Mitzvah Motzei Shabbos, I'll talk about Chanukah in Yom. The major event of import in Parshas Vayeshev, or the central issue, is the sale of Yosef by his brothers. A very dark moment in Jewish history. It's interesting. I'll begin with an aside. I just came across this week. And actually, I saw it once before, and then I refreshed my memory. It's not brought down in Parshas Vayeshev. The Meshech Chochma is a very fascinating comment relating to the sale of Yosef. Meshech Chochma is found in Parshas Achrimos. We're discussing the Avodas Hayom and Yom Kippurim. So he mentions there a number of things that are nogeya to Yosef, because he says the sale of Yosef, because he says that there's a pasuk in the Chumash in Parshas Kisisa that tells us that even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave the Jewish people for the Egel HaZov, but whenever we're going to be punished for something else, there'll be a little bit of the punishment of the Egel. The pasuk says, Rashi explains, that any time we're punished for something, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sticks in a little bit of punishment for the Egel. Sometimes it's like, you know, your child acts up, says, okay, I'll let you off the hook this time, but next time, you know, something will get double, you get extra. So that's what happens to the eagle. So the Meshach, that's a pasuk. Meshach Chochma has a medrash which says the same thing regarding the Chiras Yosef. It was such a dark event. It sold the brother into slavery. It's a terrible thing. So it's just, almost unforgivable. So we know the famous Asara Gramalcha story, the way the Piyut presents it, as though the general, the Roman general, wanted to punish the 10 great Chachamim of that generation. And instead of the punishment, or to make up for the punishment that should have been given, in his opinion, to the 10 brothers of selling Yosef, the truth is that Piyut is not 100% accurate in the sense that the Asarah Gamalchus didn't all live in the same time. It's not really meant to be literal. It's an embellishment. They all met that kind of fate, that's true. But they didn't all live at the same time. It wasn't all that they gathered in a room. But in any event, so we do actually make mention of that in Yom Kippur, but the Meshech Chochma says in Achrimos, he says that just as there is always a remembrance whenever we're punished of a chait of the chait ego, so too we're reminded that whenever we're punished a little bit of the chait of selling Yosef. The way he distinguishes is the chait ego has been on mako. The chait of selling Yosef has been on chaveru. So he says whenever we're punished for a chait that's been on mako, so it's a little bit of the ego is punished then too. And whenever we're punished for a chait on chaveru, a little bit of mechiras Yosef. And that's what he says. We Mispal on Yom Kippur, he says we find an unusual Loshen, that's how he gets started. Really. He says the Loshen of the davening right before the Brocha of the Kedusha Yom on Yom Kippur, it says, Ki atos solchon l'Yisrael, umochlon l'shivtei Yeshurim. What's up with shivtei Yeshurim? We don't ever refer to ourselves as the Shvatim in Tefillah. You know, why do we mention the Shvatim then? That's what he wants to say. Ki atos solchon l'Yisrael, that refers to Yisrael in the relation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but there's also an Indian of functioning together as shivtei Yeshurim. And this was a dark mark on the shivtei Yeshurim. So that we asked for that in Yom Kippur. And that's they also mentioned that the perhaps the Dafke Y, you know, the Beis Hamikdash was located on the border of Shevet Yehud and Shevet Binyamin. And the Kodesh HaKadoshim was in the Chelek of Shevet Binyamin. So Rashi Chochma says the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur Dafke goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which was in the Chelek of Shevet Binyamin, because Binyamin was only one of the brothers that wasn't involved in the sale. In other words, he also mentions the Ksones that the Kohen Gadol war was worth two slime, which the Gemara says is the same two slime that the Yaakov spent on the fancy Ksonos passing. But he has a lot of interesting connections. But okay. Meshechom is in Achrimos. That's why I reacquainted myself with it. I'd seen it before once, I think, in Yom Kippur, or in preparation of Yom Kippur, and then I forgot about it. Then I came across it again this week. It's not here. So it's and the Rosh, the Dibur HaMaskil is Kiatol Solchon Yisrael Amochon L'Shiftei Yeshurim. So it doesn't really jump out that it didn't do Yosef, but it's a nice piece. Anyway, so we find the brothers sell Yosef. We know that Reuven attempted to save the day. And the Pasuk says in the Bereishis Perek Lamed Zion, Pasuk Chafalaf, after Reuven hears the plans of the other brothers, it says, Vayishma Reuven Vayatzileu Miyadam. Reuven heard the plan and he saved them from their hands by saying, Vayomer lo nakenu nofesh, let's not kill him. We better not kill him. Rather, Pasuk Chavbei is, Vayomer aleim Reuven al tishpiku dam ashricho osol abor azeh asher b'midbar v'yod al tishpiku bo. Reuven said to them, don't spill his blood. Rather, cast him into this boar, cast him into this pit, asher b'midbar, which is here in the desert, V'yod al tishlechavo. Don't reach out your hand against him. Leman hatzil oso miyodam lashivu al aviv. So that he'll be able to rescue him and return him to the father. So Rashi points out that phrase, Leman hatzil oso, is not part of Reuven's words. As Reuven didn't tell them, I'm telling you guys to throw him into the pit so that later on I can come back and rescue him. That's not Reuven's words. And if you look in the pasuk, it's funny because it starts, Vayomer Aleim Reuven. Reuven said to them, don't do this. Leman, so that, Hatzilo Samyama Hashival Aviv. So Rashi tells us right away, Ruach HaKodesh Eidal Reuven. It wasn't that Reuven said it. Reuven just said, throw him into the pit. Don't kill him. Let's not, raise our hand against him. Let's just toss him into this pit. And the pasuk, HaKodesh Baruch Hu, fills in. And right in the Torah, Leman, Hatzilo Samyadam, he tells us what Reuven's intent was. Ruach HaKodesh Hidal Reuven Shalom Amar Zos El Lahatzil Oso Sheyobu Hu Be'alenu Misham. And so the Ruach HaKodesh fills in and tells us what Reuven's noble motivations were. He wanted really to do the right thing. I forgot to bring to the table, but I'll say it Baal Peh. The couple of psukim later, it mentions the famous phrase V'abor Reik Ein Bo Mayim. Right, the pit was empty and had no water in it. So Rashi right away says, what do you mean? If it's empty, then it has no water. So what's the deal? Arborek ain't b'mayim. Masha shem arborek ain't ani yodesh ain't b'mayim. Matam alayim b'mayim. Mayim ain't bo. Avonachol shem arkrabim yesh bo. The Gemara says that there's no water, but there was something. It's like a double negative. Arborek ain't b'mayim. A double negative is a positive. So there was something in there, namely snakes and scorpions and so on. So we were talking early in the week that this week they found someone else in a pit. Right, and they found they call it a spider pit. They call it where they found Saddam Hussein. So, as we said, Nechoshevak Rabbi Yeshba. There was a pit. They found the snake in the pit. So everything's marumas in the center. Anyway, so the, some of the Mizrahi and some of the people ask. It just said that Reuven wanted to save Yosef, so he throws him into a pit with snakes. It's a big help, right? I mean, it doesn't seem to be So here we have the famous answer that's said over by many people. The Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Chav Beis quotes two statements in a row. I don't have the Gemara in Shabbos, but again, I'll say it about that. He says, it doesn't matter. Two statements in a row. One statement is that the Ner Chanukah has to be more than 20, no more than 20 amos off the ground. That's the maximum height off the ground. Statement number one. Statement number two is this drasha. How come it says that the bore was empty and there's no water? If it's empty, it means there's no water. So he gives the answer because it had the snakes and the scorpions. So you have these two statements of Chazal. You have these two statements of Chazal are juxtaposed. So Lechora, what have anything to do with each other? I mean, one thing talks about the height of the Ner Chanukah, which comes in the Gemara. And the other one is the fact that the pit had snakes in it. So the famous answer, I think the Torah Tzvi on the Pasuk quotes it, they say it over from the Vilna Gaon, they say it from other people, that, I should say the Balabatash, the simple answer, right on the top of the page, the simple answer, get confused with the pagination, the simple answer is that it was the same speaker. Sometimes you have things in the Gemara. We have to remember the Gemara is always a written record of oral discussions. The Gemara was not originally written down, right? So sometimes people remembered things by grouping certain things together. One means of grouping things together was by the author, especially if it was an author that's not quoted. If you're going to have Reb Meir, so he said lots of things. Abaye, Rava. Okay, but sometimes you have someone quoted in the Gemara who's not that often quoted. And that's here. It's Amar of Kanadaris, Rav Nosson Bar Minyumi, Mishmeid Rav Tancho. Not exactly a common presentation of Nosson Bar Minyumi in the name of Rav Tanchum. So the first drasha is relevant to the sugi there in Shabbos. It says Ner Chanukah, Ner Shel Chanukah Shnichal Amal Meachsim Am Psula. Okay, Ner Chanukah above 20 Amos is possible. Then again, the Omer of Kana, Darsh of Nosson Bar Minyumi, Shred Rav Tanchum, Ma'idik Siva Borei Kein B'Mayim. So the pastors, it was quoted because it was the same author. But all the darshanim, it works out very well for the darshanim because a lot of said. But once in a while, Parshas Vayeshev lands on Shabbos Chanukah like this year. Usually, Parshas Miketz is Shabbos Chanukah. This year, there are two Shabbos Chanukahs. We have Vayeshev and Miketz. So there's a perfect thing for all the Rabbanim to make a drosh on, because you have a connection to the Sedra and to Chanukah. So they say like this. They say, how could Reuven have thrown, if his intent was to save him, so he threw him into a pit with snakes? So Elamai figures out that the pit was more than 20 amas deep. So you can't see that far down. Who saw in the very bottom from snakes all the way up here? How can you see what's on the bottom of the pit? Right, if the pit's 3 inches deep, so you can see. If it's 10 inches deep, it's a foot deep. This, okay, but when it's 20 amas deep, you can't see. So that's how they frame it. They say they didn't know. Reuven didn't know there were snakes on the bottom. How come? Because the pit was more than 20 amas deep. So that shows more than 20 amas. You can't tell from where you are more than 20 amas. Memela, Hanukkah candles are lit more than 20 amas high. It doesn't do any good because the whole idea is to be able to see them. So if it's so high, you don't see, you don't notice them. That's how they link up the two drushes. But the Gur Aryeh, the Maharal Prague, has a different approach altogether. Again, it's all dealing with the same question. If Reuven's trying to save Yosef, so what's he throwing into a pit of snakes? So he said, in fact, the Kasha is even stronger, because there's a Gemara in Yevamos which says that if somebody falls into a pit of snakes, so that Aden that saw somebody fall into a pit of snakes, then the wife of that person can be married. Even if you didn't see that the guy actually died, he's finished. I mean, there's no question about it. That's a Gemara in Yevamos. We know the din is that a woman is not allowed to remarry if her husband may still be alive. So if the husband, what if the husband disappears? So then she's called an aguna. That's the original aguna. Today the word aguna means something. I mean, it's related. It means the husband refuses to give a get. But the original connotation of aguna was a woman who the husband disappeared. We don't know what happened. He went out to business someplace, never returned. We don't know yet. So she's not allowed to remarry. Maybe he's still alive. Maybe he'll come back tomorrow. Maybe he'll come back next week. So then the Gemara has certain leniencies. The whole Masechta Yevamos, huh? What was that big shaila, right? They had this question after the World Trade Center bombing. You know, this person was there. Was he really there? We don't know. Did he make it? Maybe he got lost. He was, you know.
But I mean, in the times of Tanakh.
Yeah,
times
of Tanakh also. Yeah, and there's a big shaila of Moshe Feinstein dealt with right after the Holocaust also. People taking this camp, that place, who knows? And sometimes people came back later. I mean, after the war, there was a lot of confusion. It was a displaced persons camp. And the whole. Yes, I saw that on that CD, that disc. They have a disc. They were this Chachmei America, the first one. Yeah, it's a Shura of the Titanic. Yeah, the same shaman. That's right. I saw that also. So, it's an interesting disc in some ways. Some of those Shuras. Early American. I should digress. I mean, if you're referring to fellows, someone published, they put out a CD, ROM disc of Chuvas from Rabbanim in America in the early 1900s, most of whom we never heard of. Most are not well-known Rabbanim. They were big Talmid Chachamim, they corresponded with, you see in the Chuvas of the Netziv sometimes, he wrote to somebody in Baltimore, to someone says Baltimore, they corresponded with Gdolim in Europe, and we don't really know who they are. And you saw the first, the one movement, I don't remember even what it was about, but it was written by a Rav in Detroit, I think. And he wrote about how he is very depressed always on Purim, because he remembers Purim when he was a young man in Europe. He said everybody delivered shalachmanis and kids were dressed up in costumes and they had Purim chagigas and he loved it and how wonderful it was. Such a day as soon here, he says, we got minyan. At night we have a minyan, in the day we can barely scrape to get a minyan. Everybody goes to work. And he said, he writes, I wonder if there'll ever be Purim in this country. So I thought, what that man, if he would see today, Baruch Hashem, you know, would really give him chizuk to see, you know, the fruits of his labor among other people. Anyway, so the Titanic had all these shilas, but that's the original aguna. So the Gemara says if somebody has an aid that this man brings aidus that this man fell into a pit of snakes, then you can assume that he died. So if that's the case, how did Reuven toss Yosef into a pit of snakes? So he said, the difference is the Maharal Prague and the Gur Aryeh on this pasuk says there the Gemara is talking about a pit that was full of snakes. Here it doesn't say. Here it says, "Abor rake ainbo mayim." It's double negative. Nechoshim va'akrabim yeshbo. There were some snakes in it, but not necessarily so many. He could take care of himself. You know, it was in those days. People maybe wasn't so frightened. Two or three snakes doesn't mean it was full of snakes and scorpions. So that's why he thinks it wasn't a problem that they tossed him into that pit. That's the nature of the pit. They have sometimes they have snakes and scorpions. Anyway, the issue I like to deal with coming off this point is the following. First, I'll just mention that clearly the Pasuk is telling us that this was a noble deed that Reuven did. Not only is it a noble deed, but the Pasuk sees fit to publicize it. Kodesh Baruch himself said, like Rashi says, Ruach HaKodesh Eidu. Laman Hatzil Oso Miyodom Hashu Al Aviv. Right? He wants to, the Torah wants to publicize this good deed that Reuven did. In fact, we find in the Gemara in Makkos, on Daf Yud Amud Aleph, again, it's only an indirect point, but, you know, later on, when the Jewish people are preparing to go into Eretz Yisrael, so they have to set up cities known as Ari Miklat. Ari Miklat, the so-called cities of refuge, where somebody who kills accidentally can run there and be saved from the family. So the Torah mentions where the Ari Miklat come from, or, you know, which Shvatim and which area they come from. So the Gemara says, Amar of Tanachum Rachaniloi, Mipnei ma zocha Ruben limonos batzolot tefila. The first city of refuge, as mentioned in the Chumash, is in the territory of Ruben. So why was that one first? So the drush of the Gemara is because it says Mipnei shehu posach batzolot tefila. He was the first person to try and save somebody's life, so to speak, in the case of Yosef. So when we're talking about saving somebody's life, years later, he's rewarded that his shevet gets the first mention. So that's how the Gemara Makkah says. So again, what we've established is that this is a noble deed, and the Torah seeks to publicize the deed. So on the basis of this, what I'd really like to look at tonight is a tshuva from the Rashba, which is very relevant today as well. It's a chelik aleph simon tof kuf pei aleph. Tof kuf pei aleph. No. Where the Rashba discusses a question. It seems that somebody had a house next door to the shul, near the shul, or literally next door to the shul, and go ahead and knock it off. Somebody had a house near the shul, and here Reuben Hayalo Bayis Samuch LeHechel, Hechel Beis Hakneses, next door to the shul. The Ikva Atir Yada Machol Shehu Mekomos Yeshiva Hakodesh Beis Hakneses One Osav Binyan Noah. Okay, we'll read what's relevant to us. He built it into like kind of a more beautiful facade, a more beautiful structure. The Rotzel Arvo Shem Beis Hakneses, the Hachi Beis Hakneses. He was refixing his house. So the Melech was fixing his house. So it was attached to the shul, so he's going to redo the whole plaza, the whole area. Right? Rebuild the whole area. And they finally agreed how to do it. And Reuven put all his money into this. He was refixing his own. And it vor Reuven hamakdish lichtov al Pesach Echol Shmo. He wanted a plaque. Well, this is the Reuven building. Right? I mean, he's the one who put in his money. And he wanted the shower, the gate, or whatever it was. Somehow he wanted to put up a sign. Laman his kishmo mashihiktish, okay. And some of the tzibur didn't want it. So what do you mean? You can't put up a plaque. It's not your shul. He wanted to put up a sign, somehow attributing this beautiful renovation to the shul to him. So really, the shaila is it permissible? Is it acceptable to for somebody to go ahead and put up a plaque? Is that right? What should be the problem? The answer is that's not why we do mitzvahs. You shouldn't do mitzvahs because we have a chart over back. Here are the people that put on tefillin, for the last month. We don't do that. We don't make a fuss about the fact that we perform the mitzvah. This guy gives stock to the shuls. It's very nice. He rebuilds the shul very nice. But what's the idea of putting up some kind of a was not in America. Right. Well, now it's already accepted. But this was basically the shalat the Rashba was yes. So Rashba answers, "Any roish yuchlo
atzi." When is this?
Rashba's in the 1200s.
Wow.
But it's basically the same question. The guy wanted to put his name.
In archaeological digs, they find in
names, yeah,
names in ancient synagogues.
Yeah.
I thought.
Okay. Okay, could be. Need more circles. Okay. So that was the question Rashba was asked. So Rashba answers, "Any roish." I don't see any way that the shul, the other members of the tzibur, can stop it. And he says, and it's not proper to stop it. Why should you stop him from putting up a plaque? He says, if a guy is doing something, from his money, it was his money, l'shem shamayim, right, for the proper reasons. Right? But Od, he says, the Bekama Mekomos, Bekilas HaKodesh, Shenogim, Ken Gamin Kameinu, who Kosu, Bekos HaLeichel. Like you said, it's common, even though not in America, it was common already in Spain. The Rashba says that many of our shuls, or many of our mostas, have people's name. Vizu Midas HaChomim, Midas Vasikim. And it's a proper Mida, and it's an ancient custom, it's an old custom. Kedei Litein Schar, Lasos Mitzvah. Umidas HaTorah, Yishehiko Sevas, Mepharisemas, Osa Mitzvah. Okay? And he says it comes from the Torah. And he says, in fact, he says, "Im haTorah asto kein tzvichon olai chachmi l'seshal Torah shein darchei noam." We find the Torah does it. Where? Our pasuk. The Rashba says, "Hinei b'hatzolos Yosef sheitzilo Reuben miad echov kosav alav kosav aich meruva itzelim yadom." The Torah itself says it. So it says the Rashi, you see, the Torah itself publicized the fact that Reuven wanted to do a noble thing. And as we read from Rashi, the pasuk says what his intent was. So Rashi says, Memela, if the Torah itself says it's okay to publicize somebody's mitzvahs, so here's a guy did a mitzvah, he donated money to refurbish the shul, so he should be able to publicize the fact that he did this mitzvah. That's what Rashi says. And he says, V'chein b'boaz, shaviter pasach homet, chdivo ha-kosov, and he finds other places, we'll see later, but by Boaz and Reuven, gave her, he was so kind to her, the Megillah goes out of its way to describe his kindness. You see that sometimes the Tanakh publicizes the positive activities of a person, so why shouldn't we do it?
As the negative.
Okay, Nachanami, but even from the point of view of a mitzvah.
No, all towards the end of a learning.
Yeah, okay, correct. We'll see in a second. V'chein kama gedola ma'aseh tzedakah v'aseihs v'mitzvah kosov v'mitzvah sefer nevuah. V'chein eni yomar mitzvah. He mentions further, okay, he mentions an even further point, based on a medrash in Rus Rabbah. Here, in the Rus Rabbah, it says the following. It takes it a step further. You see, it's true that Reuven did a noble thing. It's true. However, at the end of the day, it wasn't successful. I mean, his plan backfired. Well, not backfired, but it didn't work out, right? He came back to the pit and Yosef was already gone. So the truth of the matter is, you know, it didn't exactly work out as planned. So while it was a noble intention, and the psukim give him credit for that, as I say, unfortunately, it didn't exactly work out the right way. So the Medrash in Rus Rabbah, if I can find it, says, it's a little short, here it is. The Medrash in Rus Rabbah, Parsha Yud Simon Vav, let's find it, says the following. A person should always do everything. A person should always, should always do what he has to do in the best possible way. Because otherwise, you never know what's going to be written down for posterity. I wrote down the wrong book, because I'm not going to find it, but I'll say it. I'll say it in a second. So it says like, oh, that's the source I'm talking about. I thought I had it, written, and I didn't write it down. Let's just see. Let's see if I can find it. I'm sorry. I wrote down the wrong mark. But this is exactly what it says, what Henry just said. Let me just see for a moment if I can find it. All right, I'll just have to say about that. I apologize. Basically, what it says is like this. Here, Boaz is very, very nice to us. There's no doubt about it. And Reuven had this noble goal. But he said, you know, imagine if Reuven would have known that whatever he's going to do today is going to be written down in the Torah and people are going to study it for thousands of years. What do you think his approach to that act would have been then? So the Medrash says, you know what he would have done then? He would have grabbed Yosef and tapped him on his shoulders back. Right? I mean, right? But the same thing, Boaz is very nice to us, but if he would have known this is going to be written down, it's going to be read for Jewish communities for Shavuot for thousands of years, he would have given them gold and silver. Because people want to be remembered for positive things. That's what the Medrash says. And the Medrash gives other examples. Aaron. Okay, so, again, I apologize for not finding it about my Marmokah, but that's basically the intent of the Medrash. Let me see if I can find it myself. Before this, wait, it's put Bokoli. Okay, I just have to take my word for it, that's what it says. But Lamaisa, what comes out of that Medrash? So the Rashbor writes, when a person does a mitzvah, you better do it wholeheartedly. Because Sheilo Haya there, Reuven Shakarish Baruch Hu, Machti Vayishu Reuven Yotzi Miyadam. I caught something, I'm sorry. I was looking at a different version earlier. He would have, you know, slept him all the way. When Aaron greeted Moshe after Moshe returned, to redeem the Jews, it says Aaron walked out and was happy. Happy! Who would have known it was written? He would have come out with a whole orchestra. He would have made a big fuss about it. And so Lemaisa says the many examples that he gives. So you see that it's obviously an inspiration to a person to know that his deeds are going to be publicized. Imagine he would have done even more. In other words, yes, the Torah gives Reuven credit, but at the end it didn't work. Had he known it was going to be publicized, he would have tried even harder. So what's the Rashi trying to say? He's trying to say that that's human nature. people will respond more if they know they're going to be given some kind of credit. That's not a bad meter. That's just the way people are. So therefore, if a person knows that he's going to be able to have a plaque that memorializes a relative, whatever his motivations are, so then he'll give more money. He may contribute more to the late shalom. He'll do the deed with the greater slavos, with greater enthusiasm. That's what Rashi says. Okay? And he even mentions, he quotes a Gemara in Baba Basra, Daf Kuf Lamed Gimel. It says, it's by a certain person, Yosef Yosef, Shehikpish, he gave a certain amount to the Beit HaMikdash. It was actually written down, so we find it's an old thing, even from the days of the Beit HaMikdash. So therefore, Nikana Talamed concludes the Rashi Bosh, Hayu Noagin Lichtov Kain Shmos HaMakdish Moshamayim, Lios Lehem Lezikaron Tov Al Mitzvot Lichtoach Delas Laosem Mitzvot. It encourages people. I would say even further, it encourages other people. When somebody sees this guy got a plaque, he'll do it also. Maybe I'm, always kibitz that, what they should do is, they want to raise money in Eretz Yisrael, they should, in the back of the Kotel Arvi Plaza, they should have like, a miniature Kotel Arvi, and people can buy stones. If you want, this stone was dedicated to them. So I bet they raise a lot of money. This suspicion. That was one of my projects to raise money for Yisrael, and the other one was street names. Why does King George get such a big street? To sell it to somebody who'll give a donation to your son. Make his name the street after him. That's King George. King George. All right, do you want to leave some of the Rabbanim streets, but some of the other streets?
That's a very good idea.
King George V needs such a big, such a main building in Yerushalayim. Anyway, so, but that's the nature.
Better.
Huh?
Yeah.
Right. Right. That was the old. I took the sign down once the guy left. Anyway, so, but Lamaisa, that's the Tshuva Rosh Bo. The bottom line is Rosh Bo Paskins, it's not only mutter, it's proper. It encourages people to get stuck. It encourages other people to get stuck. And if somebody knows he's going to be remembered, so then it's worthwhile for him. The interesting is, I just noted in my Tshuva Rosh Bo to take a look in Rashi, in Sukkah, Daf Mem Tesmer Beis. Take a look over there. It's talking about Stucker towards the towards the bottom of the page, and mentions there. So find the Rashi. What's that? Yeah, no, that's a different thing. Just a second. So Rashi says. Actually, not that looks off. It's also Mason. I'm sorry again. Yeah, it's also not the color. So it's collecting stock of the different things. So it says the sibuhu leches tov leches tov beis even leches tov beis nishter. So it says yesh omrim in tzarech levaz beis lo tzas meis ani olach nosos kala ania yase betzina lo lema kamei man de lo yodah de avdikain. He says Rashi quotes over there that if a person has to spend money for a lo tzas hameis or for nosos kala, you should do it betzina, you should do it privately. Okay? As it says. And it shouldn't make a big fuss that people should know about. And Tony quotes in the Shultus also like that. Rashi quotes, V'chein b'shultus ha'rachai and v'reches. So the Chor at first glance, it sounds like a steer to this Rashi Bo. Because Rashi Bo is saying, no, it encourages. So I think that the answer is that there's a difference between doing it for an institution and doing it for an individual. If you do it to an individual, it says, Martin the says, everybody has to know that I gave money to this Achnos of Kal, to this person. Embarrassing to the person. If it's for a shul, for yeshiva, for a building, so then that may be the chiluk. Because what Rashi is talking about again is it's a chanos eskala, and a poor person or whatever it is needs funds. So there you shouldn't make a big deal about it because that I think it means you're potentially embarrassing another person.
But
yeah.
Maybe it's different. But say by Boaz, for an individual, he said would do good. But maybe the chiluk by a chazal, the ending of. Simplest cluster in the collar. In other words, there's a
separate mitzvah.
There's a whole separate mitzvah, and by the.
It's a good aura. Again, it's a good aura that Boaz and Reuven did do it for individual. It's true. Especially Boaz was because she wasn't on the. It's a good aura. Okay, I don't know what I had written down in my Rosh Bo. I must have worked another time. So Ayin Rashi Sukkah Memtes. The Masal Tzos Hamesod Red. That's what I thought, but your horror is a good horror. Okay, but anyway, certainly in giving to a, giving to an institution, so we go ahead to say, like the Rashi goes ahead to say that it should be mutter. What's the halacha? So this din appears as cited by the Darkei Moshe, by the Ramor, Yoredeya Simon Reish Mem Zayin. That's the Chistok. Yoredeya, who's this? Okay. Yoredeya Simon Reish Mem Zayin. Good. Yoredeya Simon Reish Mem Zayin. It's the Darkei Moshe. Os Aleph, the beginning of the Sinner. Thanks. Just read inside. At the very beginning of Hilchos Tokef. Ramor writes, Kostav HaRashbo B'tshuva Sinan Tavkof Pei Aleph, Mi Shehikti Dover Tzokef, Rots Alichta Al Shmoa, Dover Shehikti Shedil Sol Zikaron Tomid, someone who gave to Tzokef, he wants to put his name forever, you know, as a memorial, Ein Mochen B'yodo, not only you don't stop him, but B'adarab, on the contrary, Roy Lassus came. Vizumi des hachamim, uminag vasikim, litain schar loosem, it's ad kamashara. The Ramor gives a nice little summary of this, and obviously accepts the ruling of the Rashbo, halacha lemaisim. The Beis Yosef writes, he quotes from the, just a second, the Beis Yosef is going to quote from the Smag, who says, nevertheless, and so on. So he quotes this Rashbo as well, but he says Kos of Smag, Sorach Hanosin. Sorry, he doesn't quote Rashbo. He says here it is Kos of Smag, save him as Gadol. Sorach Hanosin Shelo Yispoer B'Tzokin. A person should not become too haughty with regards to Tzokin, showing off with regards to Tzokin. Shanosin Vim Yispoer Lo Dayo Shenem Akabel Schar Mashanosin El Shemanish Shanoso. If you're going to show, oh, God, I get a lot of money at Stalker, you know, that's your attitude. So then not only don't you get tzchar, you get punished. The time is for a comment about Basu. He refers to Gemara about Basu of Yudam and Beis. Nena, Shabbat Gamliel of Omar, Nena, Rabbi Gamliel of Omar, Stalker, Torom, Gar, Vechesed, Lumim, Chatos, Stalker, Vechesed. He says that Stalker, Vechesed, Sha'akum, Osim, Chatos, Ulohem. Many times a person gives Stalker, it's only because he wants to show off. And Vecholam, Isyar, no full beginning. If a person becomes too haughty, then he's gonna go the other direction. So we really now have two different approaches. The Smag seems to say that, well, slowly, you know, you shouldn't be too haughty about it. And the Rashbo says, well, it's okay to put up a plaque. So I think that, you know, one could reconcile the two by saying that there's a balance. It's okay, but maybe the plaque doesn't have to be the most flowery, Something's makovedik, something that's nice, you know, especially if you're doing it in memory of somebody, you have parents or grandparents or whatever it is you want to memorialize. So you don't have to, it shouldn't be too showy. That's the Beis Yosef in the name of the Smag cautions, you know, that we shouldn't take it overboard. But to go ahead and do something, I think would be allowed. I'm saying it's not necessarily a steer, I think, between the Smag and the Rashbo. The Smag says don't become too haughty about it. If you want to put up a plaque, it's good. It'll inspire you to give. It may inspire others to give. That's what the Rashbo says. But it shouldn't lead you to become too haughty about it. The reason I think that you can reconcile the two, but we shouldn't view them as a stira, is because of the following. In Simon Reish Mem Tes, Sif Yud Gimel, the Ramor writes, Lo Yispoer Ha'odam B'Tzdoka Shenosin, Ve'im Yispoer Lo Dai Shenem Mekabel Schar El Afilo Manishin Osole, this is in Simon Reish Mem Tes, quoting the Smag that the Beis Yosef brought earlier, Umikol Mokom, Mishamaktish Dovel Etzdoka Mutalo Sheikhtov Shmo Olov Liten Olo Zikon, Roy Lassus Kein, Shuvas Arashbo. So Ramor passes like both. Clearly, if there are more, brings down both the Smag and the Rashbo, it's not self-contradictory positions. A person shouldn't become too much of a balgaiv about the stalker that he gives. That's true. On the other hand, it should not cause him to become so, you know, too haughty or too, you know, too much into his own pride. So you see that both in the Darkei Moshe on the tour and in the Ramor here, Ramor does quote this Tshuvas HaRashbo halacha lemaisa. And I don't know, the Mechaber doesn't quote it. The Mechaber doesn't quote it in the Beis Yosef either that I saw. He only quotes the Smag. Now, did the Mechaber hold that the Smag disagrees and says no, and therefore would say you shouldn't put up a plaque? I don't know. In other words, there's no way to know for sure. Clearly, the Ramor accepts the Tshuvas HaRashbo. He quotes it in the Darkei Moshe. It's in Reish Mem Zayin the other day, and he quotes it in the Shulchan Aruch here, in Reish Mem Tes, along with the Smag, showing, as I said, that I don't think it's contradictory. Nonetheless, Nonetheless, it's noteworthy that the Mechaber doesn't bring it down. So it could be that he argues, but one doesn't necessarily have to say that. The Morgan Avraham, though, also accepts the Rashbo Halacha, since Orachaim, it's in Kuf Nun Dalad, Sivkot Nechav Gimel, he's talking here at Hilchos Beis HaKnesses. So the Morgan Avraham writes, he says if somebody wants to, there's a whole bunch of dinim at the end of Siman, of the Siman Kuf Nun Dalad. So he quotes a whole bunch of dinim with relate to a shul, and the one thing he quotes is this, is this tshuva that a person is allowed to have, some kind of a memorial if he donated money to the shul. Kosar Rashbo, Siman Tov Kuf Pei Aleph, Ruben Hayala Bais, etc., the whole story. So he says that the person wants to do it, you shouldn't stop them, and other rabbi, it's a good thing to do. So that's the Morgan Avraham accepts it too. So it seems that, again, the Mechaber's non-committal position notwithstanding, it seems to be accepted by the poskim that this is okay. What do you mean? Yeah, break them, the recipient should put up the plaque. Oh, that's interesting. Okay, could be. The Pisvei Tshuva there in Yerodeh, back in Yerodeh, in Reish Mem Tes, asks an interesting question. It's Cotton Gimel. He quotes the following. What if the Ruvain involved was not a guy who was giving his own money? He was the Gabbai Stoker. He ran the campaign, so to speak. Right? And so fix up the shul and so on, the most talk up. And the craftsman said, Zos Nasa Kudus Ruben Ben Yaakov Gabbai Tzoka. Put up a plaque. This was done under the president of the shul was so and so. Put that in. Alacha Kamashon Amdar Kol Yerud is there. Okay? All right, they didn't want it. That's what here's the reverse. Here, the guy put it up, and then the people objected. Right, the other said, we don't want it. And Ruvain, Heshiv Hagam Shagavisya Mos Mikol Makash. I spent the time, I made all the phone calls to raise the money, I ran the hat show, whatever it was. We raised the money from the shul, So, Tarachim Shul Besakneset, Kedin, Yikosish Miyalov. Okay? And furthermore, no one complained back then, and now everyone's complaining. Who's right? Anyway, so here, the Pesach Tshuva writes, Yeshu's, nevertheless, I think Yeshu's Chus Lichtav Shmo Alova, it's only Dafka Hecha Sha'osu Ba'atzmo Begufo, a moment Shalom Yeshu's Chus Lichtav Shmo. Pesach Tshuva Paskin, it's Dafka, if your own money, you put it in, you built it, so then you can put your name on it. The Lo Biki Agab Nishalosu Ba'atzmo Rock Sochar Polim Mosar, what did he do? He didn't build it. He raised the money, took the money, hired some fellas to fix the shul. So that you can't do. So the Pesach Tshuva says in that case, we would not allow it. So paskins the Pesach Tshuva. However, back in Orach Chaim, it's in Kuf Vav. A moment, please. It's in Kuf Vav in Sivkot and Zion. The Berhetiv. But the Behetiv disagrees. I'm sorry, again, I wrote down the wrong source. I was writing quickly, so I can't read what I wrote. But okay, the Behetiv disagrees. Behetiv himself suggests that it may not be the case, and that even in such a case, the guy could have his name written down. There's another question that the Shach raises in the Nekudas HaKesef. In Yerodeah we have on the side of the page the Shach and the Taz, and then the Shach wrote a commentary on the Taz, a response to some of the Taz in the Taz called Nekudas HaKesef, because the Pasuk says, Torei Zav Naseloch Im Nekudas HaKesef. So even though Torei Zav is spelled different, it's a play on words, but he calls it Nekudas HaKesef. So he says, he quotes the Rashbo, he says, we did din for the Rashbo, He quotes, but he says he thinks the Taz overlooked this Rosh Bo. Anyway, he says, he quotes like this: what if a guy wanted, originally didn't put his name on it, and then afterwards he wanted, and they say, wait a minute, a year or two later he realized, hey, wait a minute, I want the credit. So that's what the the Taz says here. So he says, Mikana Talamas, you know, Gniftov Kane, Shmos, Magdish, and so on. And he quotes the Nukudas HaKesef, writes, Od Mashan of Rosh Bodah, Filu Hikdish Kvar, Mutter Shikhtu Shmo Alav, Vein Atzim Yochon Lachev. Even if he already did it, and he didn't say, but I want a plaque, and he didn't plan in advance. And now he says he wants a plaque. Now the people say, oh, we never would have let you do it if you knew for that reason. We don't want to call this your building. Nevertheless, the Nukudas HaKesef paskins that, you can do it anyway. Not everybody agrees to that. The Maharshah, the Shulchan Aruch, the Maharshah is not the same Maharshah as in the back of the Gemara. The back of the Gemara, the Maharshah, is of Shmuel Eliezer Idols, or Idlis, and the Maharshah on the page here is of Shlomo Eger, the son of the Kiva Eger. So Gilan Maharshah, okay, so the Ber Hetev is Kuf Nun. He quotes the Ber Hetev. Good. I wrote down Kuf Vav, it's Kuf Nun. So Gabai Shelo Osim Monim Kosa Shmuel Shah Asim Sod Yachol Amokho. If the Gabbai wrote it down, he didn't do anything, he just arranged it and put his name, you can take it off. They quotes in the Ber Hetev, Yochel Shazad Adover She'enu Ela Echol Beis HaKnesko Menorah Mitzuyaris Adlos Ahor Mekiblu Atzibu Bo Acharkach Lichtam Shmotachom Yechol Mimchos Biyadav. Here he says, not like the Nekudas HaKesef. He says that the guy gave something like on a menorah or the stained window, that's something it means. No, it says Menorah Mitzuyaris Adlos Ahor, something like that. I don't know, or it's decorative, maybe on a window, or some kind of a decorative thing, and the Tzibur accepted it, and now the guy wants to, he says, maybe they shouldn't do it. Baruch HaShulchan and Sif Chofal, I won't read inside now, because it's late. Baruch HaShulchan said, no, the first way is right, the guy can. Anyway, Bekitzer, you see from all of these poskim that Lamaisa, we accept the Tshuvas HaRashbo, that it's okay to put a plaque up, according to some poskim, even if you didn't originally stipulate that you wanted a plaque, you can stipulate it afterwards. And even if the tzibur is ma'akev, nevertheless, the din is with the person who contributes the money. So that's what I want to mention in terms of this halacha. And as I said today, it's very much no ge'er, because people see that when other people get credit, I want to criticize. They have here now a very nice thing every day. The people, the learning is a memory of somebody. No, I think the rabbi usually announces here. Or they started in the yeshiva, the panas, I own these different things. It's very nice. People give. They say they do it. I mean, they're very good. I know when I go on the sukkahs, you go to the chassidish yeshiva, the stolen and these places, they have these every day different things. It inspires people to give stalker. And we make a mishaberach. That's what it says, the mishaberach right after the Yom Kippur. Yeah. It's learning, yeah. It's learning.
No, it's not anymore. Here we're talking about putting it in the name of somebody.
Yeah.
Like, I want everybody to know another that I gave it.
Well, sometimes it says, yeah.
But here we're talking about
in memory of somebody. Right, it's different, but it still says donated by the Goldberg family, and I think the learning may be different. The learning, but I'm saying, but say in the Mishaber,
the shul in the days of the Shabbat objected.
Yeah,
had a very unpleasant, uncomfortable feeling.
Right, of having somebody's name on the shul. Yeah, the
becoming a
private institution. Right, in Hanami. I think so. That's right. Yeah, today it's much more accepted. But we say in the Misha Berach on Shabbos, if you come forward, Misha Nosnim, the Lamor, the Ayin Lekirshul Havdala. Right, the people give to the shul. They give oil for the candles in the shul. They give for wine. So we do want to give credit to these people. We say a special tefillah on their behalf. I think that the Rosh Bo said it's all rooted in our sedra. I'm just going to conclude with one word that relates to Hanukkah and this story, I think. I'm thinking about it. Relates to our topic tonight. There is a medrash. There is a medrash. I should say there's a medrash that's quoted by a lot of people. I could not locate the medrash. Okay, and I did a search, and I couldn't find the medrash. But a lot of people quote, especially with the Siddur's father. So the Siddur's father quoted. There is a pasuk in Shir HaShirim. Pasuk in Shir HaShirim is in let's find the exact pasuk. It's Perek Zion. This list, the very end of Perek Zion. It says it's Perek Zion. Pasuk Yud Dalet. Pasuk says, "Hadudoim nosnu reyach v'apsochenu kol megodim." Hadoshim kaimishon dodi tzafanti lo. First half of the pasuk, "Hadudoim nosnu reyach," which means my baskets, flowers, or something, emit a fragrance. It's not a totally literal translation. I'm going to translate it literally for now. The art's called many Beit Rashi. Don't translate to Rashi. Literally, it's all an allegory. But okay, "Hadudoim nosnu reyach." The the flowers, the mandrakes, give off an aroma, a fragrance. Al psalcheinu kol megadim, and on our by our doorways, all kinds of sweets and treats, fruits. So there's a medrash somewhere that says hadudoim nosnu reach. That's a reference to Reuven, because we had 2 weeks ago in Parshas Vayetze, Reuven found dudoim. That's the flowers he found in the field. He brought them to his mother. So dudoim nosnu reach. He gives off a fragrance, a fragrance something pleasant, because that's Reuven who did something right to go ahead and try and save Yosef in our parsha. Al psocheinu kol megadim, and by our doorsteps all kinds of sweets. The ner Chanukah. That's ner Chanukah. So now again, you see this is a perfect tailor-made drasha for all the darshanim who want to tie in parshas Vayeshev to Chanukah. And again, in the Chassidus Svarim they talk about there's another Svarim that I saw. Again, I could not locate the medrash. Not in the regular medrash rabbi, I couldn't look in the Alkot Shimoni, and then I did the search. I couldn't find. Could be a medrash or more obscure medrash. I don't know if it's a medrash plea. I don't think so. But anyway, what's the connection? I mean, other than it's nice for parshas Vayeshev, which is Chanukah, you have Reuven and you have Ner Chanukah. But what's the connection? So I want to say, there's a lot of people have darshan about it, so I'll tell you my own drush. It's simple. Hadunah Esarech, that's a reference to Reuven. What did Reuven do? Reuven tried to save Yosef. And what do we see the Torah did? They publicized what he did. So that's the publicizing of Reuven's mitzvah. Apsachena Komegodim is Ner Chanukah. So what's the whole issue of Ner Chanukah? It's to publicize what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. So the connection is this notion of making something public. When we do mitzvahs, there's an Indian, according to Rashba and according to what we seem to Paskin, there's an Indian to publicize that which we do. In the same token, we also, where do we see the idea of publicizing? We publicize what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did to us. That's the Apsachena Komegodim, that on our doorsteps are all these wonderful things, referring to Ner Chanukah, that we're publicizing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us. And that's, as I said, the Indian of, I mentioned last week a couple of people privately, I thought that maybe we'll develop this in greater length amount of time, that the whole recitation of Aneiros Halala, when we light the candles, serves to publicize the Nes. That's the verbal component of the Pursuma Nes of Chanukah. So we find that the Torah itself publicizes our good deeds, so you know, this is the idea of, Anila Dodi V'Dodi Li. They say from Rebbe Yitzchak HaBerditchev, who always liked to cement the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Jewish people. So he says, I think this is in his name, that, you know, we praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu for what he did to us, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu praises us for the things that we do. That's why we refer to the holiday of Pesach as Pesach, because that focuses on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's act, namely that he passed over the houses. In the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls it Chag HaMatzah. It's never called Pesach in the Torah. And the Pesach refers to the Korban Pesach. But the holiday is called Chag HaMatzah, because that's what we did while we ate the matzahs, you know. So that's what he says. So I'm suggesting the same thing here. Kodesh Baruch Hu wants to publicize the thing that we did, our ancestor Reuven did, but we want to publicize the thing he did. So that's my contribution to this drosha. Okay, I got in Shabbos and I'm afraid of Hanukkah.